Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No, exactly. Bob Hansen, meteorologist, writer at Weather Underground, author of The Thinking Person's Guide to Climate Change. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hey, Tommy, pretty good. Nice to be back.
Is it hypocritical of me to say, you know what, if it was cooling, I'd have no problem with it?
I'm someone who likes warm weather, so
I'm in the position of enjoying
warmth while being concerned about climate change.
Yeah,
so
come spend September here and let me know if you still feel that way. Tell me about the book, because the title of the book interests me.
Yes, the book is actually the latest edition of a book that's first incarnation was the Rough Guide to Climate Change. So it was published for the Rough Guide Travel Series. First edition came out in 2006, and after three editions with Rough Guides, it was picked up by the American Meteorological Society, and so we changed the name. The newest edition just came out early this year.
And that's available at all the usual outlets?
Yeah, certainly Amazon. There's Kindle versions and such. And the idea is it's not intended to speak to any choir or preach to any choir. It's laying out, here's what research has found. The reality of climate change and, you know, a few areas where maybe climate isn't changing things that much and a lot of areas where it is. So I try hard to just kind of call it as I see it.
And Bob, you know, I don't know if we did this last time you were on. I'm going to take text from people that I know don't believe that it's real because I don't see the point in telling you what I mean. You don't have a doubt that the climate is changing. I mean, let me phrase it this way. Let me take a step back.
Yeah. Sure.
Are you looking at this in two ways, where the climate, is it two different issues? Is it changing, and is it man-made?
Well, I would make three steps.
Okay.
Is climate changing globally in the last, especially the last 30, 40, 50 years? Is that due to humans, and is it the end of the world? And I would say yes, yes, and no. In other words,
it has been changing for the last 30 years. Number two?
Number two is human, is it human caused? And I would say there's no evidence it's anything other than human caused. And it's not the end of the world. I've always said it's somewhere between tra-la-la and the end of the world, but that's a big space. You know, we can have a lot of trouble with something that's not doomsday.
Did you say tra-la-la?
Well, because often people tend to break it down in a polarized way, either yes, climate is changing, and we are going to die in 10 years, or no, it's not changing, or if it's changing, it's not humans, or if it's humans, it's not that big a deal. And it is a big deal, and it's real, and it's happening. But I think it's important to approach it with a sense of positivity. We can do things about it. We have to adapt to it, and we can reduce the amount of future climate change we have. So it's a tractable problem. It's a difficult problem. And in part, as you said, because politics creep in, just like any human activity that involves human choices and human decisions, there's politics there. But that's not the science of the physics and chemistry that drive our climate. That's a different thing.
So somebody texted in about Joe Bastardi, I think is the guy with the Weather Channel that says it's not real. And the same guy, I said, okay, that's one, texted back, and the guy said retired meteorologist Bob Breck. So here's the point. When it comes to scientists and people that don't think it's real will say, and y'all keep texting in, I'm going to get to your questions, I promise you, or your challenges. But when it comes to scientists in agreement, in disagreement, are these numbers even close or not?
Oh, God, no. No, there's I know Joe Bastardi and Bob Breck, and there are a few dozen people maybe who are vocal on their levels about the idea that global climate is not changing. There are literally thousands upon thousands of researchers who have spent millions of human years on this problem, you know, with PhDs who have worked for decades. And I know hundreds of them personally. So there's just no comparison. And I think you can't just say, well, one person says this. You know, there is a scientist out there, PhD, microbiologist who says HIV has nothing to do with AIDS, Peter Duisberg. He's won the Nobel Prize, but we don't base our health policy on one scientist who says something, right? We base it on the preponderance of evidence among all the scientists who work in an area. And the bulk of the evidence says, yeah, the climate's changing and it's because of human activity.
All right, this would be a good point to take a break, I think. And when we come back, we're going to take questions, and y'all, it'd be a lot easier, and we got some people on hold right now, if you would text them to me at 870-870, or we'll talk to you during the break, and maybe we'll get the gist of your question, because it'll be a lot quicker that way. We're talking climate change, the hottest, driest September on record for the New Orleans area. Bob Henson, our guest meteorologist, writer at Weather Underground, author of The Thinking Person's Guide to Climate Change. As for me, in my own personal opinion, I have no doubt in my mind at all that the climate is changing. Why and what it would lead to is where we're going to get from Bob when we come back. 917. Text your question, 870-870. Tommy Tucker, back in a flash. Climate change, the conversation, when we return on WWL. All right, let me go through some texts here. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you base your beliefs about climate change on science or politics? 70% are saying science, 30% politics. The way I look at it is this, and our guest is Bob Henson, meteorologist, writer at the Weather Underground, author of The Thinking Person's Guide to Climate Change. It's just my thought process. Y'all don't have to agree with it. But, you know, from the time the kid is born, you do everything you can to make their life good, right? You save money, you send them to college, you help them after they're grown-ups, etc. Well, the last thing in the world I would want to do is leave them a world that is miserable. So that's where I'm coming from on this. Now, some of the texts that are coming in February and January, when it's 38 to 40 degrees, no one will be talking about the so-called man-made global warming. These libs and socialists are trying to scare the hell out of young people that the world will end in 12 years if they don't get rid of fossil fuels. All propaganda. It's a lib attack on capitalism, Trojan horse for lib socialism. I'm guessing they may have some politics behind that one, Bob. I'm not quite sure. And I know this same person would probably text me in February and January when it is cold, hopefully, and say, ah, where's your global warming now? Explain the difference, if you will. I think we would start here, Bob, with weather and climate.
Indeed, we would. And one analogy I like to use that's been used by Marshall Shepard, University of Georgia, is climate is your wardrobe. It's what you have in your closet. Weather is what you wear on any particular day. So you may wear a T-shirt. You may have to wear a parka. Those are weather events. Climate is what you have in that closet. And basically, as the climate warms, you may have a fewer parkas. You might have a couple more T-shirts, but you've still got that whole range. You know, we're still going to have cold weather. We're still going to have winter. We're still going to have cold waves and heat waves. The concern is that in many places, many parts of the U.S., that heat waves are going to be more frequent and more intense, and the cold waves less frequent and less intense. And you'll always have on any given day pretty much some part of the country that's a little below average. But the question is, how much of the country has a hot month, a hot year? You know, it was the hottest September on record, not just in New Orleans, but DFW, cities in Ohio and Florida, Cold Bay, Alaska, Barrow, Alaska, Hilo, Hawaii. All those places had their hottest September on record.
All right, some of the texts here are coming in. If we are responsible for global warming, who was responsible for the ice age?
Well, indeed, different kinds of things can change climate. It, just as you can get a cough from a cold, or you can get a cough because you have cancer. So if you get a cough for one reason, it doesn't rule out getting a cough for another reason. So the ice age has happened because of cyclic, well-understood changes in Earth's tilt that play out over hundreds of thousands of years. Well, in the last 50 years, we haven't had any of those changes. We know what causes things like ice ages, and we haven't had those causes. What we have had is human-produced greenhouse gases, and we understand how those warm the climate. We've put them in the air, and we've seen the climate warm. So unless someone has a compelling other explanation and some reason why the greenhouse gases aren't warming our climate, then that's the most natural explanation.
You know, the phone just cut out, so we will reconnect with Bob in a moment. John Esplanade, hi, you're on WWL. What do you want to say about climate change?
Good morning. Well, just this, you know, the science goes back to like 1890 when they first started looking into it. And they started seeing the signal in the late 50s, measuring the carbon buildup from a place in Hawaii. And now all over the world, there's data coming in from multiple sites. And the first government paper on global warming was in the Johnson administration in 1967. So the information's been building up for a long time. I think some folks get confused over whether it's happening and what some people are proposing to deal with it. And if they don't like those proposals, then they want to say it's not happening. But they're two totally different questions. It's like, you know, if you don't want to stop smoking, that's fine, but you can't pretend like what the doctor's telling you isn't going to happen just because you want to keep smoking. You know?
I think it's a pretty astute analysis. And the other thing, it seems to me that people are basing, I think a lot of emotions are driven by fear, right? So I think people that are denying it, and I don't necessarily mean that they're wrong when I say that, but the people that are denying it are afraid of something that fossil fuels, whatever it is something going to affect their life in a negative way, because that's what I think they're afraid of. I think the people that are sounding the alarm about this are afraid of what the earth is going to be like and what it's going to mean for coastal communities, et cetera, like ours. Bob Hansen now, meteorologist and writer at Weather Underground, author of The Thinking Person's Guide to Climate Change. As it relates to rising sea levels, coastal areas, and people talk about 9:38, 22 before 10, talking about climate change, man-made, human-made, rather, responsible for it. Can it be fixed? Bob Hansen, our guest meteorologist and writer at Weather Underground, author of The Thinking Person's Guide to Climate Change. Somebody texted in, please answer on air. Don't want to politicize climate change, but why do you believe more conservatives deny climate change is real? Serious question. Read something, look it up, check the polls. I mean, it's to me, that's common. That's just, I guess everybody can stipulate. Just in case you missed it, says this text, Bob, September snow like this has not been recorded in 93 years in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, well, you know, of course, I've actually written about it, so I didn't miss it. Yeah, we did a post this weekend that mentioned that, in fact. And I should point out, we didn't even write about the record highs in that post. But I think there's been something like 40 record highs for every record low this month across the U.S. So, in fact, that was a very impressive snowstorm. There was as much as 4 feet of snow in parts of Montana. It's an incredible September storm and unprecedented for so early in the year. That was one chunk of the U.S., maybe 5% of the land area. Most of the rest of the country has been absolutely roasting. DFW failed to get below 72 degrees in September, except on one day, and that was the first day of the month. It was their hottest summer on record, and they had no rain in the entire month also. So, you know, you have to look, you have to realize when we talk about climate change, it's a global phenomenon. So you have to look at what's going on across the whole globe, across long periods, because it is climate. You know, weather events come and go, but it's the mass of those weather events and how they're changing that's the concern.
See, the thought process, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody here, but the thought process confuses me because it seems as though people are willing to come up with anything in the world to either get the conversation deflected over here about something else or come up with some type of nefarious motive here. A text comes in, oh, brother, rolling eyes, instead of worrying about what kind of world we're leaving our children, maybe we should be considered about what kind of children we're leaving our planet. And I get that. Okay, you made a little twist of a phrase here, but that's got nothing to do with the climate change. Somebody else texted in, I'll bet your speaker owns oceanfront property. Gee, Bob, oh, do you own oceanfront property?
If only I owned any such property. I would love to have an oceanfront place to live. But no, I live in a house I've been in for almost 30 years. It's not near the ocean. I have one car. It's not a fancy car by any means. And I try to ride my bike as much as I can. So, no, the one thing I do is fly a fair amount. And that is the weak part of my carbon footprint. You know, we all have areas where we burn a lot of carbon or maybe don't burn so much. And Aviation is one thing we don't have a ready replacement for. There's no easy way to fly a plane without fossil fuel right now. And then over time, I think there will be alternative fuels for aircraft. But there are plenty of ways to generate electricity without fossil fuels. That's just a given now. Even nuclear power is pretty much fossil free. So there's really no reason to be burning fossil fuels much longer to produce electricity. Cars can be made now to run on electricity, and even trucks. So that's an easy area. I mean, aviation is tougher. Fortifying coastal cities is going to be more of a challenge, especially ones like Miami, where you're on top of limestone and that's porous. So I hope we can look at things that are easier to do and things that are more difficult. And by easy, I mean technologically feasible, right?
And
there are other things. Yeah, sorry.
No, Bob, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I want to get these texts, and I want to talk about solutions in a moment. Sure. But I got two texts here. I'm going to jam them together. One says, I believe the climate is changing, but if it is due to global warming, what can we do to correct it without completely reversing everything, our global economy and the way everyone lives? And then another text says, climate change has been changing for billions of years. There is nothing different happening. Mother Nature always takes care of itself. So jump in where you feel comfortable on that one.
Well, those are two questions. The latter one, yes, nature works, and that's the concern, because when you put 35 billion tons of a greenhouse gas in the air, nature deals with that. And the way nature deals with that is by the climate warming. So, yes, climate has always changed due to various reasons, and right now it's changing because of what we're putting in the air. So human-produced climate change does not somehow make all the others go away. Those other causes of climate change are out there, but they're not what's causing its change right now. And my book goes into this in great detail, so I'd recommend people who are interested to go there. The first question, how do you change it?
And I'm going to throw one of mine in there too. How do you change it without disrupting everybody's lives? And another thing that is not necessarily mine, but I hear a lot is, well, if you don't do anything about India and China and Brazil and name some other countries, that it's not going to make a difference anyway. The other thing that people proffer is, well, if you can't control the volcanoes, it's going to happen anyway. They can do more, speaking of Mother Nature, damage than we can in thousands of years. Address all of that, if you will, please.
Volcanoes are not an issue. They put out a tiny, tiny percentage of carbon dioxide next to what humans produce. So that's not an issue here at all. I'm sorry, I have to go back once.
Well, no, that's okay. The other one was, in terms of developing countries or countries just don't care, and you think back to the Olympics in Beijing.
Oh, that's an issue, certainly. The two biggest emitters on the globe, if you're going to pick the first two countries, are the United States and China. Actually, China and the United States now. China makes a lot of our stuff, so they put out a lot of the gases that are emitted for U.S. products. Together, U.S. and China are about half of all global emissions, close to that. Now, there was a global agreement, and there is one, that has virtually every country on Earth agreeing to ramp down its climate change emissions. The United States has said we're going to pull out of this agreement. That's an administration decision. It doesn't take effect until late 2020. So we'll see if that decision holds, actually probably based on the results of the election. But we are the only country that said we wanted to pull out, or the first country, rather. I think maybe one or two others. But 190-something countries are on board. And indeed, if U.S. cut emissions and no other country did, that would attack 15% of the problem. So really, the rest of the world has been waiting on us in many ways, and on developing countries like China and India, because there's been kind of a symbiotic thing. We didn't want to go there for various reasons, and they didn't want to go there for various reasons. And now the challenge is to keep everybody on board.
So we began about 45 minutes ago, somewhere between tra-la-la and the end of the world, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So,
yes, exactly.
and again, I'm seeing the text here against that not believing the climate is changing are just nasty and mean inspired.
Yep.
And I don't understand that. I mean, we're talking about a scientific thing here. How does it? I don't think anybody was talking to Jonas Salk about the polio vaccine about this, were they? Or about when AIDS was discovered and they realized it was spreading. I don't know if anybody really fought anybody on this, did they? So how does this? Go ahead.
What, Well, I've been writing about climate change for close to 30 years now. I've been giving talks for 25 years. So I talk to many folks who are skeptical, and I like to listen and talk to people. I think that's important, hugely important. We all have to listen and respect each other. So I have no problem with that. People should have, you know, be thinking about this issue. The more they do, the better it is. I wish people wouldn't be nasty. I think folks are afraid, as one of your earlier questions.
I do think so, and I said that. I really do think
that they're afraid they're going to have to give up something, right? And essentially, we have to give up emitting carbon is what we have to give up. Now, that doesn't mean you have to change, you know, the benefits of modern life. I mean, I have electricity in my house, and it's 100% from wind power, right? So it's the same electricity. I still turn on the light, and I get power. So now, the fossil fuel industry will be affected profoundly, and that's why many fossil fuel companies are moving into alternative energy, so they have some protection. But there are huge coal, oil fields, assets that we simply can't burn if we want to protect the climate. So that is a huge, huge societal problem, what to do with those stranded assets. And I don't think we're even near the point of solving that one, but the science says we got to solve it. So, and I think, you know, if we can listen to each other and sit down, we'll figure it out.
Somebody asked him what he is giving up. I don't know what that has to do with anything. That takes something business and makes it personal. I don't want to waste time with that.
I pay a little extra to get this 100% wind energy in my house. I drive a car that is a plug-in car, so that uses about half the gas of a normal car. It actually is plug-in and hybrid, so it uses both gas and electric. So I think it's a wonderful solution for a lot of people. Use electricity for your local trips, and if you have to do a long trip, use gas. I've pared back on my flying, so I've done things here and there. I'm mostly vegetarian, and that's actually another way you can reduce your carbon footprint, because it takes a lot more energy to produce a pound of beef than it does a pound of vegetables. So there's lots of ways. There's lots of things we can do. The important thing is for us to do what we can, you know, and not to hold each other to account and say, if you haven't done something, then this isn't real. You know, I don't have oceanfront property. And I just think I worry in particular about New Orleans. I think it's the most vulnerable city in the country to climate change.
Right and there with you.
Especially folks in your area really need to take it seriously. And you can still be a conservative politically, but there's going to have to be market solutions or some sort of solutions. Ultimately, we just can't put that carbon in the air, and we've got to adapt. And that adaptation is happening now. Military cities all over the country are realizing, especially on coastlines, that those waters are not going down. They're going up.
Somebody texted in, I am a conservative. The climate is getting warmer. 9/11 was not an inside job. Chemtrails are a myth. And we did go to the moon. I wanted to get to one more text here. And it was about glaciers melting and dropping an ice cube into a glass of water. And it's the same amount of water, et cetera. I don't quite understand I think I know.
So there's two kinds of ice in the world. There's ice that's floating out in the ocean and ice that's on land that's melting. But they're melting in both cases overall. But the ice that's in the water, when it melts, it doesn't raise sea level. It's just like ice cubes in a glass. If those ice cubes melt, it's not like the glass of water overflows, right?
That's what we said, exactly.
Yeah, no, but so the concern about the Arctic ice loss is not that ice loss raises sea level, but it torques weather patterns, it torques ecosystems up in the Arctic. The big concern for sea level is ice that's melting off of ice caps on land, glaciers, Greenland, Antarctica, and we just hit the balance where now the bulk of sea level rise is not because of the ocean expanding as it gets warmer. The bulk is now because of water melting off glaciers and ice caps. So that's a big concern.
Bob, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your standing up for what I believe the science shows, for what you know the science shows. He's a meteorologist, is Bob, and writer at Weather Underground. I know some of you think that he's got some kind of nefarious purpose behind this, that he's getting rich behind this. I think the intentions are nothing but clear, and it would seem to me to err on the side of caution. The other thing, Bob, and I know we got to go here, I had to get a cell phone yesterday, and people line up to get the latest in cell phones because they know we can keep getting better and better and better at it. But I don't understand why they would not be as concerned with alternative fuels or some better way to do what we're doing now. And that always was a paradox that confused me.
Yep. Well, change can be difficult. You know, who moved my cheese? Yeah. Nobody likes change, really. But I'm a techno geek, and I love what we can do to reduce energy in cool ways. And I think the more of that, the better. And I've always called myself a worried optimist, and I still am. I'm a little more worried, but I'm still just as optimistic as I ever was.
Thank you, Bob. We got to go. Okay. A text comes in. I want to address this real quick. Tommy, as a responsible parent, would you advise your child to buy a house in New Orleans given the climate change debate? Serious question. I advise my son to look elsewhere. I own a house in Belchase. I told my kid, as soon as I'm gone, sell it. Because now you got an asset that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. If for whatever reason the coastline disappears, then you got nothing. So sell it as soon as I'm gone. But don't hasten my departure. Back in a flash, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.